there's some people that, like, in their free time, they talk to you. And then there's other people that make free time to talk to you. And you have to learn the difference.
Nick, are you ready to get weird?
I am. I really am.
All right. So I always feel weird because this is, so Nick, you are my second, I know I told you this before, but you are my second virtual recording, which is actually kind of cool because I was telling you before this that these Mac speakers, I'm always like super blown away by. So all my fun fans have fun listening to this, but let's actually first, I'm going to do a virtual cheers. So
virtual cheers. Yes.
Virtual cheersies. Cause we don't have any like liquor out here.
There you go.
Everyone who listens to my pod is always like, do you drink like all the time? And I'm like, all right, I get it. I only post about drinking, you guys, but this time it's just water.
Is that a subtle way for them to say you're an alcoholic?
Or... I think it is. I am assuming that I'm going to get an intervention soon, but that's okay.
Go home one day and all your friends are there. You're like, what's going on?
Right.
You're like, what?
But
East Coast to the West Coast. Let's
that's
go.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are, dude, how is New York treating you? How long have you been out there?
I've been here for almost 3 years, a little shy of 3 years.
Dude, yeah. Give the fans a little bit about you, like what you're doing, who you are, how we know each other.
Okay. So we work at the same company. We're coworkers, colleagues, friends. Yes.
Hello.
At an agency. So what I do is like social strategy. I guess regular advertising work during the day. And then during the night, I prefer to work on writing and filmmaking. So like kind of an artsy guy. I say prefers because in theory, that's what I think I do. In reality, it's like I'm just making random shit, to be honest. I have no idea like what I'm doing at all. But I've been in New York for like a little shy of 3 years, hoping to be like a filmmaker. And I don't know if I can call myself a filmmaker, but I can say I've done some interesting things that involves film and video. And I guess we'll get into that as the episode progress, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to like pull people in. I don't need to do that.
Okay. I love it. So I was going to be like, for those that don't know, but like no one's going to know. But Nick and I were talking about obviously like doing a pod because I know that I have, I've told him that I think he'd be great at podcasting. He's just got like such an amazing personality. And obviously him and I work on the same, team. So I've kind of gotten to know, you know, like a little bit more about Nick. And so we initially, I was like, you know, bouncing around the ideas of like, you know, kind of East Coast and West Coast dating and what that looked like. But Nick brought up a good point that he really was keen on talking about communication, which I think is so incredible because a little bit of, you know, obviously like what I talked to Nick about prior is that I think it's difficult for a lot of males to want to talk about communication. Cause I think it's like such like a, it's stigmatized to be such like a female driven, like for lack of a better word, communication topic. Yeah. I think that, you know, you see it in film, you see it in like music, you see it in day-to-day relationships where it's always, you know, the female that's coming at, you know, at the male, their male counterpart, and obviously in a heterosexual relationship where they basically are looking to talk more, their partner's not communicating enough. And I had actually done an episode prior to this on lesbian dating where one of my good friends, Lauren, was talking about, you know, communication and lesbian relationships and how they're actually a lot of times more fulfilling. And that's like a typical common aspect of women who had been either bisexual or had been straight and then moved on to dating women. And so their feedback was always that they had those kind of fulfilled relationships and they basically moved on a lot quicker because they actually were able to fill that part of their relationship. So I guess with that being said, Nick, are you dating?
Am I dating? Passively, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah, passively. Yeah, kind of going back to what you were saying, was I really wanted to hone in on like, I think everyone kind of looks at the, like, the beginning part and the ending part of, like, relationships. And there's not a whole lot on, like, what's happening in it unless it's, like, turbulent, you know? Mm-hmm. So I felt like, based off of my previous relationship, you know, communication was literally the most important part for me. And being, like, I guess, for lack of a better word, vulnerable and sharing your actual meaning and intentions is one of the most important things, especially in, like, a healthy relationship. And I definitely have learned how to communicate, and I mean, I have not perfected it. I'm not that good at it, but I definitely learned to open up more, especially, like, at the time with my girlfriend, but, like, you know, for everyone listening, with your partner, to, like, open up more and actually tell them what you really mean through your words and through your actions. But to answer your question, yeah, I'm passively dating right now.
I love it. Well, I do love that you opened up that can of worms of, like, your last relationship. And obviously you can go into, like, as little and as much as you want, but, like, on the communication aspect, was there, like, a defining turning point where you felt that, like, you needed to, like, get better at communicating, or did you feel like you had been strong in the communication aspect and then your partner was the one who was, like, learning? Like, what did that dynamic kind of look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's like a little bit of both. Like, okay. For me, it was like, at first, you know, when you start off a relationship, there's like a honeymoon phase or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like really in awe by this person. And then as you kind of progress, you get to see, I guess, the behind the scenes. And for me, I just realized, I was like, okay, I really gotta, like, you know, communicate a bit better. Especially with, actually, my ex-girlfriend is actually bilingual, so her first language is not English. So I definitely had to, like, I mean, she's really good at English, but it's like, I have to definitely be clear in my meaning. And that's something, like, I had to, like, learn, to be able to, like, not have, like, miscommunication, so easily. And that came to my attention, like, super, super quickly, only because of the fact of, like, dating someone who, like, was born in a different country and stuff. Like, you know, there's some nuances that we take for granted, I guess, if you're, like, living in the same country, or you're, like, from the same country, or, like, the same kind of upbringing. When you have someone, like, you get romantically involved with who's, like, from, like, a different part of the world, and they technically view the world a bit different from you, like, you definitely have to work on your communication so you guys can, like, understand each other a lot better.
Yeah. What was her ethnicity?
Asian. Okay. From China, actually.
Love it. Love to see it. Yeah. No, and it's kind of crazy that you brought this up. I think that I had a huge wake-up call actually this weekend, which I think is, like, such good, crazy actually timing that we're doing this episode. But so... I know I've told most people, but Nick, I don't know how much you know. I actually was not born here. I was born in Russia. So my upbringing was, like, a little bit different as well. And I think that ultimately, long story short, I was raised in, like, you know, like a Russian household that had, you know, typical boundaries when it came to communication. So a lot of it was you weren't supposed to share emotion. You're not basically, like, you were never validated when you felt something. So it was very, like, I want to say it's very, like, machismo style culture where you really have to, like, just be strong in everything that you're talking about or you're doing, and you can never, like, share or, like, complain or cry or whatever. So I think that, like, over time, now that I'm 30, like, it's basically catching up to me, and I've, like, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself in the sense of communication. And I think that there's, like, a lot of aspects where I'm strong, but, like, one of the things that I was dealing with this weekend was that, and I know I've talked about, like, mental health before, but I've had, like, I was having, and not to overarching, but, I was having, like, a depressive episode for about, like, 2 weeks. And it was, like, the longest time that I think I'd gone through that. And same. I have, yeah. And it's crazy because it comes and goes, and I have never really been, like, keen on talking about it. Cause it's, again, it's stigmatized. Like, I'd never, you know, I've always wanted to call my mom and talk to her about it. They don't listen to this podcast, so it's not, like, anything for them, but. And so, like, my boyfriend was a little bit, like, aware, but I don't think he understood the extent. And I think that this past weekend it got so bad that he was literally like, like, I am like here for you. You are not broken. And like, I know exactly what you're going through, and like, I'm not going anywhere. And I think that like a part of me was like so scared to like talk about these things that I was dealing with without having like a mental breakdown, because I was always afraid somebody was going to leave. Right. And I think it just comes down to like him just like reiterating, like, I know that your upbringing was so different and it's difficult for you basically. And like, feel safety in me. Right. And he's like, obviously, like, I'm not your therapist, which he isn't. It's not his responsibility. But like, he is like that shoulder, right? So when things get bad, it's like the opportunity to say like, hey, I'm feeling this way. Like, I just need you to either like sit with me or be there with me. Whereas like, I would just basically shut off and get cold. So it was like that like learning process of like, okay, how do I communicate like all these like crazy emotions? But I guess like where, like in your last relationship, like did you... what was like something that stood out to you, I guess, like where her communication patterns were different than yours?
Listening, actually.
Really?
That actually worked really well for me. It's just, she had an uncanny ability of like listening very well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, sometimes like, I think I'm a bit aware of it where I kind of either one, share some information or go on some kind of story without providing all of the proper context or details, because I'm more of a visual kind of person and I see what I'm saying in my own mind, but because I see it in my own mind, I don't share every aspect of the story to whoever's listening to me.
Yeah.
So what kind of like drew me to her was the fact that she was like, her listening abilities was pretty good, and she was able to understand like what I was talking about without me having to explain everything.
Yeah.
But that was cool at first, but like, you know, towards the end, it's like she didn't care anymore.
So, I mean, I should have laughed. But
no, it's fine. It's cool. But it's like, yeah, like at first, you know, like you have this level of patience and you have this level of understanding, mutual understanding. And then the way in which you kind of communicate with one another, that's why I kind of say it's super important, because for me, I would be like, you know, for an example, like I really appreciate like this ball is like the coolest ball ever. I forgot to mention the fact that it's green, but it's like, I'm kind of, you know, describing this ball, like it's cool colors and all this other, you know, aspects about it. And you're like, I don't know if this is a basketball. I don't know if this is like a baseball. I don't know the size of it, but I like know what it looks like in my head. So I'll describe all of these somewhat irrelevant details. And if you're a person who's willing to like, you know what, that ball can metaphorically be anything, but I'm all for the story that you're trying to tell rather than be caught up in the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we vibe together very well. But when you're like, dude, fucking tell me, is it green? Is it like, is it a basketball? Is it a baseball or whatever? And I'm like, that's not the important part of the story. And then that's when you have that like miscommunication. You start like somewhat arguing with each other, because I'm trying to say like, I'm describing this ball because this ball is important for a grander story of the game that we're playing. While if you're a listener, you're like, I need to get caught up on like what type of ball it is, so I like understand what the game is. And you think it's the same thing, but it's not. It kind of pulls me back to this quote that my roommate and one of my best friends we saw earlier today was like, there's some people that like, you know, in their free time, they talk to you. And then there's other people that make free time to talk to you. And you have to learn the difference. And, you know, that's kind of like the perspective that she was on at first. And then towards the end of your relationship, when they don't work because guys aren't communicating well, they didn't care. Just kind of move on. And you're like, all right, it is what it is. You move on. It's amicable. So it's all right. I'm not, you know, where I can't necessarily talk about it or like butt hurt.
Yeah. No. And that's like such a powerful quote. I think that like we make that time for people that are important to us. Like we make time for people to like communicate with them. And I know like sometimes like I definitely have to get better at that too. I think it's like such like a learning space for so many people. And like, I hope that people can at least like rewind and like listen to that again, like pin it somewhere, write it down, whatever you need to do. subscribe to it. I don't care. I think that like we all need to like hear it. And especially like, I think like right now too, we get really caught up in saying like, you know, this is such like a me culture, right? And we forget like other people need you too. And they need you like to be there as like a friend, a family member, or just like as a communication partner or whatever that may be. And so, yeah, it's easy to just get like lost and to forget that and put that like by the wayside.
I think that comes from like expectations. Mm-hmm. Like everyone kind of, or I should at least try to speak for myself, where there's expectations that you put on yourself and there's expectations that you feel as if the world has from you.
Yeah.
And especially like with social media, it's kind of hyping you up. Like with Instagram, you kind of want to be this perfect version of yourself that you're always posting, like you're doing fun things or like you live an adventurous life or a beautiful life and stuff. Yeah. And then like on other platforms and stuff, you want to be a little bit raw and like kind of run and gun, like there's things happening in my life. Mm-hmm. And you're always trying to like fulfill this expectation. So like from your friend's perspective, you want to be like the fun person of the group. And then from like your parents' perspective, you want to be like I guess not a failure to them in some regard, if you have a good relationship with them. That's another story. And then, you know, with your partner and stuff, you want to be able to accommodate them and provide for them, or at least from a guy's perspective, you want to accommodate and provide. And what I mean by provide, more so of not just like monetary, but like emotional support as well.
Yeah.
And like stability to some degree, and also fun, where you're like, we're going to like our time together is going to be a fun time, but like, when you have all these layers of expectations, you kind of like present yourself in such a way where, I don't know, you just kind of get lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Do you, that's so interesting. And like, it makes me wonder now as well. Like, so I was in like a 4-year long relationship that I ended in 2019. And then I spent like towards the like latter end. And then I spent like that entire like year and a half like dating. Right. And so I never really like utilized like dating apps and like, I never really like date around. I just happened to like meet like mutual friends or be in a friend group or whatever, like meet somebody. So it was always super organic. But I think like now, right, like in that time frame with my first experience with like with dating app, and it was in between pre-pandemic and like kind of like mm-hmm. the start of the pandemic, before that like lockdown time frame. So I guess like I want to know, like you're kind of in that space of like post-pandemic, like you're probably kind of like on dating apps, like you're meeting people organically. Do you feel like that communication after like this like long-term kind of shutdown and isolation has like changed for you? Or like, what have you noticed that maybe like you've been working on, or that's like different, that's, you know, out there with like the people that you're dating?
Yeah, it gotten kind of weird. it's pretty weird now, dude. Maybe just taking a year off from, you know, the game, I suppose, you kind of like are rusty. You're like, oh my God, like, how do we kind of play this? Especially with like, you know, being, trapped at home for like a year, especially in New York, you definitely can feel the energy of like, what's it called? Like, hot girl summer or hot person summer, to be more inclusive. Like, it's hot person summer. You feel that energy in like New York. But for me, I actually never really relied heavily on, like dating apps, and I'm more of a person that prefers to lean on like mutual friends.
Okay.
I like to pick from the mutual friend group. So it's like, Maria, who's that friend over there you have, you know, like help me out, like, okay, you know, be my wingman or be my wingwoman. And the way I like that approach is because you kind of build the relationship with your friend who's kind of like flying you in, and then as you kind of try to spark this relationship with the person that you're interested in, it's kind of like, I don't know, it feels like it's beneficial for everyone. But at the same time, it kind of bites you in the ass a little bit, because like if it doesn't work out and that person's somewhat a part of the friend group, you are like, either you or her or whoever your partner is kind of outcast from the group. So you don't want to like necessarily pick from your friend group necessarily, but more so of like, they're kind of far removed, where they don't hang out with the, you know, your particular friends necessarily, but your friend knows of this friend that she goes off and like hangs out with her like on her own or some other friend group. You want to pick from them.
Yeah.
that's just what I do and stuff. But then again, as I was saying offline, like, I'm not a relationship expert. I don't necessarily slide in DMs. I have done it before. It worked out pretty well for me, but like
the pause.
It worked out well for me, but like, I got lucky. You got to definitely use your skills the best you can. Like, listen, I'm not the most good-looking person anyone has laid eyes on. I'm very far away from being the richest man or woman in the world, and I'm sure as hell not the smartest person. So I got to use my skills and my wits, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm really good at math, but I'm better with language, you know?
Okay.
So I gotta lean into those kind of skills. So when you slide in, you kind of say something compelling and then move on. And if they're with it, then you go on a date. And if they're not, then you don't. But it's kind of weird because now that we've been online for so long, it's like you have this kind of online version of yourself. And then you're like real life version of yourself. You're like, okay, what do we do? You know, like there's a bit like of a, I don't know, like a lag or a delay. That's how I feel personally. Now, I'm, as you can probably tell, since we work together and stuff, like I'm more of like a charismatic individual. So the delay or the lag isn't necessarily huge for me. Like practically what you've seen online when you met me in person is relatively the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel as if there's like a bit of a delay where I do think to myself, like, you're an actual person with like real thoughts and real opinions and real emotions who's waiting for me to reply immediately.
Yeah.
Because you're literally in front of me. As opposed to being online and stuff, you have a moment to think and do other stuff. But like now that we're like face to face, like that's some extra energy you have to deal with. I don't know if that made sense, but like,
no, it does. And I think that like, I kind of agree with you there because I think that you and I kind of have the like a similar pattern of like, we really don't change. And I don't know if it's just because we primarily work in such a communicative field. Yeah. So both like, I mean, we work in agencies, we work in social, we work in strategy, we work in content, like that all like requires somebody with like a different type of like extroversion versus like, you know, the everyday individual that might be, you know, working in a more like, like an account style field, right, where you're not communicating with as many people. So I guess with like that being said, and I don't know if this is gonna like be a relatable question, I guess maybe to you and I, but like how would you like marry the two? Because I think that like you said, right, there is this like in-person personality that we have and there's this online personality that we have. Like what are you seeing like crazy differences like right now online, or like do you feel like people are trying to work towards like marrying those kind of two, or like what's, I don't know. I don't know how to like articulate this question, but I guess
no,
like,
I understand what you're saying to me. No, in order to like marry the two, you have to like not care.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds wild to say, but like you really don't have to care because the pressure online to care is much higher because you're easily a victim of comparison. Or yeah. For me, I compare myself to others all the time. It may not seem so to people who know me well, but the ones that are super, super close to me, they know I like, I call it paralysis by analysis, where you overthink it. You keep looking at stuff and other people, and it's like, I want to be on that level. And it's super easy for that to happen online because the algorithm will feed you stuff to keep you online. I can't reveal all the secrets, but like, the point is to keep you online. And then when you're offline, you're like, all right, like, how do I like deal with this person? And for me, it's like, okay, if I let go of the expectations, as I was saying earlier, you're kind of more free. Like when you let go of what other people expect from you or want from you or think of you, and you just do. And you do like strategically or you do purposely. Like for me, I'm sorry, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really don't care about, you know, no disrespect, but I don't care about you. I don't care about your opinions. I don't care about, like, what you want from me from, like, a perspective of, like, you putting your negative energy or baggage on me. Like, you're just reflecting of what happened to you. And the way for you to, like, relieve your stress is to put it on me.
Yeah.
And I don't vibe with that. So, you know, I don't care. But the people that you do care about and stuff, like, you want to help them when they're, like, being, like, real down and low and stuff. Like, you want to, like, look through reading between the lines. But, yeah, in order to marry the two, you have to let go of one or the other. Like, let go of real life and live your life entirely online, which in today's day and age, it's possible in a way. And it could be somewhat real, but it's also not real because you're online. Mm-hmm. But then you can also live your life completely offline and you just don't know what's happening at all. But you're like, you're out there in the world. So you need to kind of like marry the two in such a way where it's like how you talk online and offline should relatively be the same or as close as possible. And then, you know, when you are not like looking at everything for likes, clicks, sensation, and you're just like, I'm just engaging with people, you know, like, that's kind of like marrying the two. You don't have to be the person that's like, you know, online, it's easy to get in like a group conversation, even with strangers, and go like, this is my opinion. And then have a like fun dialogue off of that or trolling people. It's harder to do that in real life. Like there's just a group of random people. I'm going to walk up to them and go like, this is my opinion. And they're like, who are you? Like, you know, there's levels to it, but for the most part, you just don't care. Just let go. Do you? And then everyone think you're cool because you like let go. I mean, that's not the goal, is to be cool, but like people admire, like, how are you vibing with yourself so hard? Like, because I don't care about what you want me to be. I care about what I want me to be. You know, you are your harshest critic, so might as well like enjoy the movie you're making, you know?
I love that. And I think too, like, it comes from such a high level of like self-confidence. So I guess I'm curious, do you do like interpersonal work, or do you feel like that's just kind of like innately maybe your upbringing or like part of your personality?
Constantly. I'm constantly working on myself. That's almost to a fault where it's like, I always want to improve myself. Like, for example, or I guess the way in which I was raised, both of my parents were in the military. And then I was raised by my mom, so a single parent mom. And she was hard on my brothers and I. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so, you know. She got four boys, you know. We were wild. We eat a lot, we move a lot, we run a lot, we're super active. Like, she had to control us.
Are you middle or oldest?
I'm the youngest.
Okay.
I got the youngest energy. It is true. You'll know if you see us all together. It'll be like the Avengers whenever we're together. Because we all don't get to be together at the same time so often. So it's literally like an Avengers movie, like once a year. But yeah, like, you know, that's based off of my upbringing. It's, you know, kind of a more strict and stern. And, you know, for us, as you were saying, like part of the household is we show each other's love and affection for each other more so of what we do for one another and less so of what we say to one another.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't actually hear my brother said like he loved me until I was like, you know, like 18 or older or something like that. And you know, at first you're kind of like, all right, like get out of here, dude. But like, it actually does mean something. And I think, you know, people should say it more to one another and kind of show their emotions more. So I come from a background where I don't really show my emotions or say it. I'm more so of I'll show you better than I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But like now that I've kind of like gotten older and stuff, I'm like, okay, I need to continuously work on myself. And, you know, I may seem like this energetic, you know, approachable guy. This is based on other people's vocabulary. But I was not always like this. And I'm still not in a way. Like I'm always critiquing myself. I'm always like, you know, I could have said this better. I'm talking too long. Like I could have used better word choices. Like, I'm always literally critiquing myself as I write my story at the same time. And it is tragic. It is terrible. And it's kind of a cycle I wish to get out of.
Yeah.
But I'm improving along the way. So that's why like I feel like I'm not good with me personally to myself. I feel like I'm not good with like people. I'm not good with dating. I'm not good with socializing. It's just me, myself, and I. In a non-narcissistic way, but it's just like, I'm just, this is just a lot of energy. But what other people see from, like, see and experience is like, oh man, you have this positive energy. You're like, fun. You have these jokes and like, you know, it's very charismatic. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. In my head, I'm just like, this is a lot of energy.
That's so, it's like so nuts. Like when you start talking to people about like what they, or like how they talk to themselves, or like what they see themselves as, or like what lens they're looking through. And like, it's so opposite, because like, obviously, like I think I share the same sentiment as everybody who's kind of spoken about you, where it's like, you are so charismatic and outgoing and you're fun. And like, anytime we've been, I know I told you this before, it's like anytime we're on a call, like you're just like somebody that people love to listen to. Like you make reports fun. And I never thought I could say that in my entire life. Like,
thank you.
Like I genuinely don't want to work while I'm on a call with you. Like, so, which is, and it's nuts that you're like, oh, I, you know, like I have all these like doubts or these things that, you know, this like sad narrative that I have going on in my head. And like, you never see that. Right. Like,
yeah, it's true.
But it's important to talk about. I think, like, you know, we are, you said this earlier, it's like we are our own worst critic, and like we're gonna, you know, always strive to think like, oh shit, I could have done this better, I could have articulated this a lot stronger, I could have done X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, I think if you are like a continuous work in progress, like that's how you're just gonna, I think, like succeed in anything that you do. And it sounds like you're just like on this like right trajectory, you know.
I'll just say this on the record. You got me now. It's like, listen, I am not, I have the strength to say this, but I am not a confident person, actually. Believe it or not, I am not a confident person. The difference is, between me and I guess the next guy, is I just have courage. That's it. Mm-hmm. I just have enough courage to try. And that's literally the difference. Like when you hear all these hero tales and stuff, you know, they, when they retell the story, it's always like, oh, like they did this, they went there, like they destroyed the beast, they walked up to the person, said this, said that. But like what's going on in their head, they could be scared, they could be terrified, they could be, you know, anything and everything above, but they had enough courage to try and keep going. And that's where I'm at. Like, I don't consider myself a confident person, but I do have enough courage to like try.
Do you feel like that's, I guess, like a deal breaker if you're, if you've got like friendships, like whether it be in your family members, whether you're like dating, kind of like that, like courage or attempt or like that ability to like want to change? Or is that something that you're maybe like working on to like find in people? Or like, I guess, yeah, what have you felt in the past on other people's like communications patterns?
Yeah. Listen, I don't like being stagnant. So especially with like exes and new potential partners and stuff, like who we are when we first met should be different when we reach the next level of our relationship. You know, I'm over here trying to build kingdoms, you know, and I'm laying down bricks every day. You can help me and I'll help you and stuff, but I'm more of a guy that's like, you know, we both come cup full and then together cup runneth over. We're not half full, pour into each other type deal, and that kind of takes away. So you need to get your life together. It doesn't need to be perfect. It's not like you need to know what you are doing. It's more so of like, all right, I know this is the direction I'm going for now, and I'm a vibe with it. And that's how I feel about like all my relationships in terms of like romantic, platonic, and familial, like family relationships. Mm-hmm. Where, yo, it, I mean, think about it. If you are your 18-year-old version self, right? Mm-hmm. You had a conversation with yourself now. You technically are the same person, literally, yes. But in forms, like in ways in how you talk to each other, the topic, like the way your speech pattern, like the way you even view the world is different. So like, would you want to be with the, you know, someone who's like literally like the 18 version of yourself forever? You're eventually gonna get bored. You're gonna be like, dude, fuck you. Like you don't really want, or at least for me, I don't want that, where you're just so stagnant. But then again, contrary of that, you don't need to be like, you know, like out here trying to be like, you know what, I got nothing going on right now, but I want to be richer than Jeff Bezos. I'm like, yo, I'm all for that. Let's go for it. But like, if you don't achieve it, like be grateful and happy for the path that you've made for yourself and what you've accomplished. But like, you're doing a lot. Like, yeah, you don't have to do that much where you go from 0 to 100 just like that. But you can't just stay still.
No, that's
perfect. I'm just, I'm more of a movement guy. Like, I like to travel, I like to do stuff, I run. Like, if you're like the same person, you know, at the start of our relationship, towards the end of our relationship, or the next step of our relationship, I did something wrong. I played myself.
Wow.
I don't put that on you. I put that on me.
It's actually like fairly profound. I've never heard anybody like, I guess, like articulate it that way.
Yeah. Like, think about it. Like, do you want to like see the same episode over and over again? I'm fine seeing the same series or, you know, the same genre of movie. I'm sorry, guys. I really like movies, so I have to like use movie references and metaphors. But like, think about it. Like, you're not going to want to watch the same episode over and over and over again. You can watch it like, okay, I'll watch it like maybe once or twice, maybe three. I'm really vibing with it. Five. But, you know, it's been a month. The episode's an hour long. You put in a lot of work to see the same thing. It's That's time so to move true. On.
I wish I had talked to you like 5 years ago. That analogy, I think, is just like speaks such volumes, right? Because I think it is like it does become like a you problem. Because I don't know if you've ever done this, but like two things, right? It's looking at old social media accounts. I think that one depicts the person that you were because of the like the patterns in which you spoke in. Because that's just disgusting on so many levels. And then another one is looking at past relationships and wondering, right? I'm sure we've all had this where we're like, well, why did we stay, right? And a lot of it has to do with their actions and all these things that we couldn't necessarily get them to change. And it is like a shame. Like, we always want to blame the other person, right? We're like, well, I wish they did this better. I wish they did that person, but, or they did that thing. But we never take a step back to say, well, why didn't I make the change? Or what did I do wrong to not,
you're so right.
Right. To not allow like this part of my life to shift or change or whatever. Right. And like, I think it, I don't know. Just
no, you're definitely right.
Over and over again is so true.
I recently gotten this perspective myself. Like, I didn't like come up with this form of thinking like for the past 5 years. I've understood how people work. Like, it was not like this. I've definitely came to this understanding even more so with like my like latest relationship. Was like, at first she broke up with me, so like at first you're kind of like, I'm not gonna lie, when you get broken up with, it always sucks.
Yeah,
I think low key we all want to be the person that break up with the person and not be broken up with. But if you're on the receiving side of a breakup, whoever's listening to this, I want you to know, it's okay. You're gonna be all right. You're gonna bounce back. Trust me. But like, I had to like, I thought I would be foolish if I didn't look back on my previous relationship, so I didn't repeat them in the new one, like in the next one. You know, like the next woman that catch my eye, where I'm like, oh my god, she has a wonderful soul, beautiful, like a beautiful energy radiating from her and stuff. This is what I say in my head and stuff. Now in reality, execution is different. But like, you know, I don't want to repeat the same stuff. So I went back and I thought like, okay, where did I go wrong? And, you know, you can either go a direction of like, let me try to save my relationship, or you'd be like, nah, let me try to like fix myself so I don't have to like deal with this headache. And, you know, at first I was kind of like, she's like, blah, 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 like just talking bad, like to myself. I don't talk bad about people like, you know, publicly. And I was like, you know, overall the message to myself was saying like, she sucked. And then I just had time heals, and I reflected on it. And I was like, you know what? She didn't suck. Like, I kind of suck, but I didn't want to like, you know, break myself down where it's like, okay, let's go on a pity party and go like, I suck. Like, I'm the worst person in the world. Like, I don't need to do that. Like,
yeah.
Trust me, life is already hard enough as it is. I don't need that energy. And I just thought to myself, like, it didn't work out. And one of my like really good friends, he said, like, you know what? It was just your turn. And that just resonated with me. You know, like when you date somebody, it's like, it's just your turn. They were never yours. It's just your turn.
Yeah.
And I had that to get me through like the sad breakup phase of life. And I thought back and I was like, you know what? I could have done this better. I could have done this better. I could have said this thing better. and I definitely could have communicated a lot better. But at the same time, I am a bit proud of myself because I felt like what I did do, there was some stuff I did well and I did right. So I have to like reassure myself, like, I will do that. The stuff that I did appreciate or like that I was proud of, I will carry that on to the next relationship. And then the stuff that I didn't like or wasn't for and, you know, kind of thought like could have been better, I'll work on that on the next relationship. And I've came to the conclusion, like, it's not on her. It's like, it's on me. Like, we're in this together. It didn't work out. I just wish the best for you. I'm not that petty. You know, you go and find the happiness that you deserve and I'll go find the happiness that I deserve. And yeah. Now, you know, I'm a little bit more whole with myself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that's so brilliant. I feel like you're just dropping so many gems today. I'm like writing them down. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm going to write this next time. Wow.
Oh my God. I feel like I definitely feel like I just went on a tangent where I'm like, oh my God, like, am I like, I'm supposed to talk about me, but like, I don't know if I'm talking about me well enough. Like,
No, this is all amazing and like so beneficial in so many ways. But I wanted to ask you, so there are like, I think clinically 4 different communication styles. Do you know what yours is? And I could obviously go through them too, just to like refresh.
Clinically? You're gonna have to teach me that because I only know like love languages, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, okay, so there's 4. So there's passive aggressive, and assertive. And then for those that don't know, so for the passive style, it's typically referred to as like, quote unquote, the wallflower. So when they tend to be unaware or ignore their thoughts, feelings, and desires, they usually bottle everything up and they don't take the lead. Somebody who's an aggressive communicator, they're usually a steamroller. So this person, they tend to be demanding, defensive, and hostile. So they're more ready to speak than listen. And then they're also known to yell, refuse to back down, and they don't consider feelings in the moment. Now the passive aggressive communicator is the confuser. So they tend to be unable to effectively voice their thoughts and feelings. And then finally you have the assertive communicator who is the self-confident. So this is the one that is said to be the one that everybody should aspire to basically be. So this person shares their voice in a calm manner. They make their ideas well known, and they make sure that they don't impose their ideals on others. And then they're also good at having healthy boundaries when it comes to communication. So those are like basically like the 4 overarching communication patterns. And it's okay if you don't know. I was just basically curious if maybe there was like a style you gravitate towards most.
Oh, I don't know for like a fact. That sounds interesting. But I can definitely make a guess on myself. But my question is, what do you think I am, actually? Just based off of how long you've known me, what do you think I would fall into? And then I'll give my response to that.
Okay. So I'm going to give you 2, and I'll tell you why. So okay. I personally think you're either going to be passive or assertive. And I think that you have a healthy boundary between both. I think that you've talked about having like a lack of confidence. And I think that can bleed into somebody that's maybe like kind of that wallflower that doesn't really want to like overshare or talk about certain things. And I know you've said that you're more of like that, kind of like I'll show you versus I'll tell you. So that's where that came from. But I think that you have also done like a lot of self-work. So I think that you're actively working towards that kind of like assertive and self-confident communicator. And I think that like everybody's always got more work to do. So I think that there's just like probably that healthy boundary of both.
Ooh, so technically would that be like, what's the 3rd one? Passive aggressive?
No. Okay. Yeah. So I pinned you as the 1st and the 4th, but there's
first and 4th one.
Yeah. So I said the 1st and the 4th, but say, yeah. So there's passive aggressive and assertive.
And assertive. Okay. So I fall into the passive and assertive. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mad respect. And the assertive is what we're all kind of working towards. Yes, I think me personally, I fall into the passive aggressive.
Okay. guessed. Why do you think that that's it? Or do you think that that's how you've normally communicated? Or like, what's the story?
I think mainly just like in the past, like that's kind of like the style where it's like, I personally avoid conflict, but if I need to introduce conflict, I can. And, or if I need to deal with it, I can as well. But it's like, I don't go for that first. But there's some information I don't want to reveal, so I don't reveal it. But I also want to push the story along. So you got to, like, I don't know, push people to get a reaction. And I have no real story. It's just, that's what I feel I fall into.
Fair. No, I was just curious.
But I don't know if that's true. Like, I could be one or the other. I don't know. All of them are probable.
Yeah. I think it could be like a little subjective too. I think sometimes we like think we're communicating one way and we're not. I think like, I always like to think that I'm an assertive communicator, but I also think I too fall in the passive aggressive category a lot of times. And I think because like, I'll, it's like something will bother, like, and this is like, I'm a work in progress with this, but it's like, sometimes something will like bother me and I just like, don't like say anything about it. And I just like hope the other person like notices, or like, I'll just keep shutting doors. So the other person learns that I like the door shut or something, like, and then like, I don't ever lash out or say anything about it, but I've noticed that I have in the past like fumed about little things. And I get that, I get that from my mom, because that's just how she's communicated. Like, she used to ignore my dad for like weeks at a time. And I'm like, Mom, really? You're mad at him because he like didn't wash the dishes and now you're not talking to him for a week? Like, she would do shit like that. So it was like the only communication pattern that I knew. So like,
for like a week.
Better, but...
I definitely feel that, where I would, I pick my battles. Let's put it that way. Like, there's some stuff that's worth going like, yo, don't do that. And then there's other stuff where it's like, it's not worth the energy. Now I've reached a more zen kind of level where it's like, I know like this definitely ain't worth the energy. So like, it's not going to bother me that much or at all. And then there's other times where you're like, it's bothersome, but like, I'm not going to say anything because like the conflict will require a lot of energy. And don't want to put that energy into that. Like, I'm really selective with like my time and energy nowadays. Like when I was younger, it was like, I mean, young gun kind of anything and everything. But like, now that I've gotten older, it's more selective. But that's kind of like where I'm at now. I mean, but like, life altogether, especially living in New York, I think you'll understand this if you live in New York, is there's just a whole bunch of minor inconveniences that add up to be a large like kind of nuisance. So you really do have to pick your battles. Just living in New York and like being like a New Yorker, like there's just so much annoying stuff, like you can't put your energy to all of it.
And that's why they always say people in New York or like the East Coast are always like hard and cold, because there's so much shit that happens that like I feel like people on the West Coast really don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it all makes sense, right? I think picking your battles is like definitely important, but it's also like learning from that, right? It's like moving forward, like figuring out, I think one of the biggest ones is like figuring out that communication pattern and like where you stand and like improving upon that. Cause I think if you never understood that you were passive aggressive, you'd never work into that kind of like assertive style.
Somebody got to tell you, I think, like, yo, you're kind of like a passive aggressive person.
Yeah.
I think you got to like hear that from other people. I think. I know, I could be wrong on that.
No, I think that's true. I mean, I've been called cold before. it's a wake up. I mean, it is a wake up call when somebody like says you can be cold at times. You're like, fuck, like I don't want to be that kind of person. Like,
yeah,
I think we all strive to not be our parents' communication styles. And when somebody says, hey, you're acting just like them, I think that's kind of like a little switch that goes, oh, I should pay attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel that. I will say, now that you say like cold, I cannot resist from making like the East Coast, West Coast reference, where it's like, you know what, you are right. Like, I guess on the exterior, like New Yorkers seem to be like pretty cold and like rough, and like Californians, the West Coast folk are like more, I don't know, approachable, maybe more like softer and like calm, I suppose. But actually, deep down within New Yorkers, people are actually really caring and helpful. Your questions need to be purposeful because they have so much going on, so much energy. So they're like really accommodating and really like nice people at heart.
Yeah.
The people in California, I'm sorry. Like, you guys have this nice exterior, but like deep down inside, it's just this cold, somewhat self-serving, I don't know, community of people.
Okay.
It's somewhat distant, I should say. I'm sorry, West Coast friends. Like, I really appreciate you and love you, and they're going to give me a hard time for saying that. I'm not saying that's everyone, but like, I do feel that energy based on my experience.
I think that's, LA bubble. I'll give it that.
Yeah. It's not all of California. It's just, you know.
but yeah. And then like, so I guess like one of the things that we mentioned was obviously like finding out like your communication style and like, yeah. Obviously like, what does it take to be like more of an assertive communicator? And then I just kind of like run through like a couple things to improving your comms, obviously. And that being like number one, number two would be taking a pause before like responding. So taking that breath, reflecting back on your partner, like hearing what they have to say, like obviously letting them know like, hey, I hear you. And then obviously number three would be validating, like letting them know like that they're heard and they're validated. Everybody wants to be validated, whether it's your partner, your friend, your family, a child, like it doesn't matter. Like we all need to validate whether or not you believe them or not, or agree or not. Model the conversation. So obviously equal parts of talking and listening. And then if worse comes to worse, or not even worse comes to worse, but if you're at a standstill, I'd say like looking, bring in a professional, right? Like I think therapy is a huge point of discussion in a lot of ways right now. So I think, and that goes down to marriage and relationship therapy, and even, I'm sure even like family and friend therapy. So wherever like you're at, you know, it's finding that bridge and like shoving your pride and realizing that like professional help that you pay for is probably important.
It is. I definitely advocate for that. Always be mindful of your mental health. Always be mindful of like when you should introduce like a third party into your relationship. Like, I don't know the stigma behind it, but like if there's a chance to go to therapy and stuff, like definitely take it. But I will say like kind of going back a little bit, it's you have to be aware of compromises. There's like big level compromises and like lower level compromises. Like the lower level stuff is just not, it shouldn't be all that important to you in terms of like whatever it is that they're kind of asking for. They're kind of small level stuff. They're easy to do. So it shouldn't like hit you as like that. A small ass like compromise should not be a red flag. But then you also have like bigger compromises. I guess an example of that would be like, you know, if you have a common diet amongst people, and then your partner's like, I want you to like be, you know, pescatarian or vegetarian or vegan or something like that, then you have to consider like, is the relationship worth it? And is this person special to you that you're willing to compromise, you know, that aspect of yourself? And some of the stuff could be actually beneficial for your life and the environment, and some stuff is just like, I don't know, that's just personal for you. Like not me personally, but it's just like, I like to stay up to like 4 a.m. I'm just the most productive at night. I'm a night owl. Like, hopefully you find somebody that's like that. But if you get a person that's like a morning person, like I wake up like at 6 a.m. ready to go. And you're like, yeah, for our relationship to work out, I need you to be a 4 a.m. person. You got to think about that. Like, is that compromise really worth it? But then from there, you also like work on like, how do you want to like talk to each other? As you're saying, like, it's always the small stuff that adds up to the big things. Like, some people appreciate it. I kind of use like the five love languages as a basis, not as a guiding light necessarily, but as a basis where it's like some people, they appreciate like gifts more. Some people appreciate time more. Some people appreciate words of affirmation more. Some people like, I can't remember the last one.
I forget what like, some of them are.
But like, it's the fact of like, those kind of speak to them a little bit more to their core. So when you like try to communicate with them, it's like doing stuff like, you know, without them having to ask you, like they kind of told you in a subtle way that they really like, you know, like a particular thing or something like that. Like they really like this type of music or this type of artist, and you're like, oh, like the new like album came out, they're into like vinyl, you bought them like a vinyl of that and stuff, like, you know, kind of small gifts, like kind of work with them, like that's something you want to do. And then there's other stuff, like for me, I'm more of a word of affirmation and time spent. So like, if you want to get to my soul, it's more so of like, you kind of whisper, you know, stuff in my ears that's like, you know what, you got this, you're doing quite well, like you are actually becoming a master of your craft. That just takes me over the moon. I don't know why, but it's like, she, like, it just like kind of like it gets to me, you know, like, but for some other people it doesn't work like that. Like, you just kind of understand like what kind of gets to them. But contrary to that, communication styles, if you do the exact opposite, or in this case the information that you know from it, can ruin you. And what I mean by that is, like, for me, as I said, time spent together and words of affirmation, they connect to me. But when you start saying stuff like, ah, man, you don't got this, like, you are very far away from, like, your goal and you will never achieve it. I can use that as motivation to prove wrong, but also, like, as an example, it's just, like, that kind of gets to me, where it's, like, I don't like you that much because of, like, the opposite perspective. So, like, for some people who really like, you know, I'd appreciate if you, you know, if we live together, you don't clean ever, you're doing the exact opposite of what they, like, would like that tiny little small compromise where it's, like, do stuff for people in, like, small increments. It'll add up to something big. But when you neglect it and you don't, you know, acknowledge this level of communication, like that nuance, then that small petty stuff becomes huge. And then you find reasons to like not like that person, which ultimately cause you guys to fight more, which ultimately cause you guys to break up.
Yeah.
And that's just based off of what I've seen.
Do you that's tell a long story. No, I love that. Do you tell your partners how like you like to be loved, or do you usually like to have them like figure it out? Like, how do you usually go
about that? I tell them. I don't got that kind of time to be like, no, I don't know, maybe. Like, I really don't. More so based off of my like dating history, I have to figure that out.
Yeah.
The women that I've at least dated, they're more I have to like ask them questions and figure out what type of person that they are.
Yeah.
While I'm more so like, I'll just tell you. Like, but that's also like fun for me because my mind's like always racing and stuff. So I kind of like it in a way where I'll just tell you like, oh, like my favorite color is green. So like, you got to do green stuff. I'm with the color green. That's what I'm about.
You're about and to get like an influx of green things in your DMs.
Right? And then for her and stuff, they're like, you don't need to necessarily tell me like I like green too. It's more so like, oh, I like cool colors, or I like, you know, warm colors. And then I kind of go through the maze of like, all right, let's figure out what color this is. That's interesting to me because you get to know a person and figure them out, see how they think. But yeah, I definitely am way more direct. I'm actually too direct, I think.
Do you, like, is that usually directness come on, like, the first, like, couple dates? Or is that, like, usually when you're already dating somebody? Like, what's your, do you have, like, a tactic or, like, a timeline of, like, how you approach it? I'm curious!
Yes, kind of. Like, you want to reveal, like, you got to be interesting. So you want to reveal some, like, I don't want to go into a long story, but there's things where you kind of call peacocking, where you're just showing off stuff to kind of pull them in. Like, it's that wild, natural, like, mating dance where it's like, oh, like, this is interesting. And then once they get closer and stuff, you reveal more information. Like, I'm probably the king of, like, withdrawing, like, the most perfect information that you need to know. At that point in time, you don't need to know that because this is all a plot. You're progressing through this story, and you're going to have to go through various stages before you're ready to know everything. Because I think it's weird to just start off where it's like, oh, like, you know, I like the color green, and, you know, I trained dogs when I was like a kid, and I have a an unrational fear of time. And you're like, wait, what? Like, where did that come from? You know?
Uh-huh.
But if you kind of like break it out, like on the first date, you're kind of like, all right, like this is like the top layer. It is true. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the next day, you're kind of like, this is what I'm about. And then on the like third date, you're kind of like, this is how I vibe.
Oh.
Then you know, like, this is like someone worth keeping around. Or if they don't like you, they kind of like dip out in the process.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. What if you're really into somebody's vibe on that first date, but they're like a little oversharing? Do you still jump out or do you still continue talking?
Nah, I'm a people, like, I'm really into people. So it's like, nah, I'll keep going. I need to understand like how this works. Like, it's kind of weird because, like, I guess being in like advertising, you kind of have to know, especially what we do, you kind of have to know how people think.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like, all right, let me understand how you think. So if you shared a little bit too much, like, that's fine. I feel like you trust me. That kind of like strokes my own ego a little bit, where it's like, all right, like, I'm good enough to get you to share some pretty sensitive information, which does happen. Like, not only like romantically, but just in life generally. Yeah. People just share a little bit, just a little bit more than they should. Now, I'm not saying like to everyone, don't do that to me. I appreciate it. Your secret is safe with me. Keep going. I'm here for you. But I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm for it.
But don't expect me to like share like the deepest, you know, open Pandora's box like day one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it does get a little weird. So when my girlfriends went on this, like, she went on this like first date with somebody, with another guy that had like actually went on a date with another close friend of mine. Anyway, closed loop. I knew exactly who he was. She messages me and she goes, I have the craziest story for you. And in my mind, I was like, I know exactly what this is going to be about. Anyways, but this guy is like totally in line with that, where he'll like first date that they like met up. He was like telling her he like loved her, that she was the one first date. And then he was disclosing all this like super like personal like family information. He was all on all these like family phone calls on the first date. And she's just like, we've literally only talked for, I don't know, exchanged like a couple messages online and then like met in person for like less than an hour. And you're already basically at stage 573 and we're supposed to be on stage one. So he's like such an extremist version of like the overshare.
Oh my God, that's too much. You didn't even make it to first base. Like, that's like, what are you on, my friend? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't do that. And if that does happen to me, luckily it never happened to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I can hang for that one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I probably will. I appreciate it. And then gone, you know, kind of just fade into like the universe, I suppose. But like, I don't know. That's just too much. That's just too much for me.
That's a whole nother level of crazies that we.
That's a red flag for me.
Right?
Yeah, because like you really have something going on.
Yeah.
I'd rather be like surprised with like, I don't know, this is probably messed up, but like, I prefer to like, if I have to go through a red flag like that, I prefer to like, I feel like people will disagree with me, but like, I want to like hear that like a little bit later, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like you dated them or you're starting to date them and then like, they hit you kind of with like a bombshell where they're like, oh, like this is also like something about me. And then you have to like go back and think on it where you're like, do I continue to date this person or not?
Yeah. But I think it's like dealing all your cards at once. I mean, that's typically what it comes down to. And like, I like self-awareness too, because sometimes like, I feel like you and I are like a little bit more empathetic. So it's like, if somebody's sharing that kind of information with it, like with us, we're basically taking that home. So it's like hard whether or not like I like you or not. Like,
yeah,
exactly. I'm going to feel that when I'm going home. And it's, do you want to make someone feel responsible for your, not for like everything that's happening to you.
But like, can I ask you like,
yeah,
what would you do if you're in that situation?
Get the fuck out. I've actually met
the guy. Are you finishing the drink or are you going to just leave?
No, I am like definitely not the type of girl that like hangs out for a cocktail. Like if I don't like it, I don't care. And I'll tell, I don't ghost. Like I'll let people know that like I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
I've just like learned over time. And I think it's just like decency. But this specific person, I had a friend that tried to hook me up with him as well. So yeah. He was just like off the rails. So it was, I mean, it made sense why, like, I knew that this like crazy person story was going to be about him.
Yeah.
But I gauge a situation. And I like same with you where it's like, I go off of like a vibe. I feel like you can tell whether or not your energy can mesh with somebody. Like when you're basically in person, mm-hmm. I've met people that were like super boisterous and like really narcissistic. And typically that's like a tactic to draw people in. And I think people that are like more submissive, usually like fall for people like that. Cause they're like, oh, like to them it's maybe it. And I think that this is just like my own subjective opinion, but I think that, you know, that's more so of like, okay, this person is like really opening up. They're like, I really trust them. They like play on your flaws basically. And so then you're, you know, you're obviously like kind of like caught in. I think because I have such like a typically generally my personality is like a little bit more like assertive. So I think that I just naturally have realized like I don't have the time to like waste with people that I'm just not interested in. So I'll usually just whatever, like I'll make it very clear. Or like I'll like be like, okay, you know, like I gotta leave, and then shoot a text, be like, hey, like, look, I'm just not that interested. So yeah, roundabout way to be like, nah, I don't stay.
I'm definitely with it. Yeah, you don't want to waste your time. You know what you're on. I do want to ask you this though. This kind of does come to me from my perspective. Is like, I have to get this out of my system. I'm gonna give you the inside knowledge, the exclusive into my
life. Lay it on me.
Is wingman status, right?
Okay.
What do you think makes a good wingman?
Okay, wingman or wingwoman or either?
Well, both. I'm sorry. When I say wingman, I kind of leave it open to like both men and women.
Gotcha.
I guess wing person.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I wanted to clarify because I was like, I didn't know if like this is like your friend that you are like with like a male buddy of yours and like.
It can be either. I'm kind of one of those person that kind of says, hey guys, to like everyone.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to be like as inclusive as possible, but I still need to improve my vocabulary. Like,
yeah. I'm definitely with you on that too. And so,
yeah.
Okay. What makes a good wing woman or wing man or woman? This is such a good and interesting question. I think like one would be somebody that's clearly not acting like they're firstly interested in you. So I think somebody that like comes up and says like immediately draws the attention to you as being the friend that's interested, or somebody that like is wearing a ring, typically that makes it very clear that it's not them. I have a friend that will do that for his girlfriend. He'll continuously always wear a ring when he's out, and he'll like wingman for her. And it makes it very easy. He basically like gives an in to be like, hey, like, you know, my friend like thinks you're attractive or whatever. Somebody that's like typically like a good communicator that's not like that's like very inclusive, I would say. I think that's a big one, because I think sometimes it could be a little too assertive if you're honing in on like one person and like a group of friends, and like they're just in the spotlight. I think it needs to be like natural and organic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those would be my big two. I can't say that I've ever experienced somebody that had like a really like stellar wingman. It's always been like such an awkward experience when like a friend like walked up to like me or like my girlfriends, and I'm just like usually the friend that's like, can you please leave?
You're filtering, you're getting rid of them. No, I asked that because I think what makes a really good wingman is the art of redirection.
Ooh,
that's yeah, like
wow, I butchered this one. Okay.
It looks like I got you. But it's like they have to be really good at redirecting. I have to say to all the wingmen and women out there that like round of applause to you guys, because it takes a lot of energy, confidence. It takes a lot, because you are literally the one doing most of the work. Because you kind of set people up to land. I like to use like the plane metaphor, where it's like what a good wingman or a woman does is they get you on the plane. They tell you, ladies and gentlemen, these are the exits over here, here, and there. There's two in the back. There's two in the front and stuff in case of the emergency. Make sure you wear your seatbelts at all times until we're like high enough in the like high enough altitude where you can take off your belt and then go to the bathroom and move about the cabin leisurely. If you have any questions or anything like that, insert joke. Everyone laughs at the stupid joke, whatever. And you're like, I hope you guys enjoy your flight with us. Literally, that is the experience of being like a wingman, where it's like you bring everyone, you go to the airport, everyone's there, and you're like, listen, are you a Spirit Airline? Are you a JetBlue? Are you a Southwest Airline? Because each flight's different, you know? Spirit's like, I mean, I'm going to get you there. Like, those guys, those people are kind of like, all right, like, there she is, or there he is. Like, my friend likes you, and then they're gone, you know? That's not an experience. And then you got, like, stuff like JetBlue and stuff, or Emirates, where it's like, they walk up, and it's like, they give you an experience, and they're like, hey, girl, how you doing? Like, they do the most, right? And they redirect, where it's like, they kind of make you feel as if you're comfortable, and they're, like, interested into you, and, you know, they give you this nice kind of energy, and they know when to pull you in. And they're like, hey, like, this is my friend and stuff, and we're in a group conversation and stuff. And then you kind of like focus the questions on, you know, your friend who you're trying to link up with, whoever they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And then you dip. It's up to them to land the plane. You like, you get out. That's it. That's the art of being a wingman. I've nearly perfected it, is what I'm saying.
I need to know, is this your personal tactic, or is this like a friend's tactic that's worked in the past?
This is my tactic that works.
This is like the most incredible thing, and I want you to like write, like, I feel like you need to like write some sort of like book about this, or like short story, because
the art of being a wingman.
That is literally I couldn't have like said it any better. Obviously I didn't, because I butchered the whole thing, but
no, you did great.
But that's so insane. Like, I want to know, like, did this take you time to perfect?
It did. It did. I worked on it.
No?
I did. Because I told you, I've been, like, passively dating. That's why I feel really bad. Because you're like, I can't, like, go super crazy into details about, like, my past relationships. Because partially it's just me as a person that's, like, withholding information.
Yeah.
But it's also partially me going, like, listen, I just, imposter syndrome, like, I feel like I need to have like a plethora of like ex-girlfriends for me to like feel like a guru, but I am a social person. I cannot lie. And I must say I have worked on the art of being a wingman for my friends, both straight and LGBTQ+. I've done it for everyone, and I kind of take pride in it now. This is what I do. This is a part of what I do. It's the art of redirecting.
You can literally just launch a whole podcast of like episodes on like wingmanning or wingwomaning or yes. Winging or whatever you want to call it.
All you got to do is just kind of get yourself in a mind space where it's like, all right, I just need to like get in there and then get the conversation going and then beef up whoever you want to like, you know, link together. All you have to do is like beef them up, but don't overhype them. That's not the point. The point is to be like, I set the vibe. That's it. Like, I go in, I set the vibe. I'm like, hey, everyone, like, let's get it, you know?
Yeah.
And then you kind of, it's kind of hard kind of explaining my technique, but it's like, it's an energy that you put out. I do believe people, like, kind of like animals, like kind of like dogs and stuff. They don't mm-hmm. necessarily talk to each other. Like, you don't see them, like, necessarily barking at each other all the time as a form of communication. It's like body language.
Yeah,
like, you can see a mother dog look at like the puppy, and the puppy knows what's up.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing with like people, where it's like the way in which you approach, the way in which you not only you talk, but like how you're talking. Like, do you use your hands a lot? Do you not use your hands a lot? And like, are you crossing yourself so much? And like, I don't know, it's just a vibe kind of thing. And you set the vibe, you kind of set people at ease, and when they're at ease. Especially the gatekeepers, like the friends that come along, that's like, mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm. Get out of here. You have to appease them. You have to open the gates to allow your friend to fly in there and land. And in order to do that is you got to kind of go to war, you know, solo dolo, and, you know, your guys' backup. And your goal is to infiltrate, leave, and that's it.
Literally, my jaw's on the floor. You literally figured this. This is the science exposed. Yeah.
This is. It literally works every single time. It works 66% of the time every time. It's like, it really works. I'm telling you, like... Like, I don't know why, because like when you move to like New York, it's kind of like a social scene. It's a lot of energy going. I feel like this is probably the same for LA or any large city. But if you can like crack the code on people a little bit, don't have to be perfect at it. You kind of like play around and you get some weird responses, some weird experiences. And then you just like, you know what? I can't take an L. That's it. Like you, when you have this perspective of like, I can't take an L, even though if you do take an L, it's like, it's not me, you know, it's, I'm setting someone else up for success. And I've done it sometimes like super successfully where it's like, I practically done all the work for you. And all you have to do is go like, what's your number? And you guys go off. Yeah. And I've done it before where it's like, you know, I didn't really have to do that much. And they, you know, they kind of know what they're doing. Yeah. And then you have everything in between where it's like, oh, I think we're losing it. I think we're losing it. And then you bring it back and you're like, oh, shit. Like, this is crazy. Like, this actually worked.
It's just so crazy that there is like basically you're giving yourself a very high conversion rate, which is awesome. I believe it 1,000%. But it makes me question because I've always heard that like dating in New York is so hard. And like
it is.
The pool, I think, is so like wide. So it's like, how do you like, it's like, how do you have that kind of success in something that's just typically
well, that's the thing though. Like, it's super difficult, but like what I'm telling you is like I have success as a wingman. Like when you are a wingman, like you're literally setting up other people. So you're technically already taking an L. You don't get anybody, you know, like you don't, it's, you're not necessarily successful in terms of like yourself. And you're right. It is very difficult. Yeah. That's what I've learned. Like first moving to New York, how hard it is. I was like, oh my God, like dating here is like hard. It is very, very difficult. Like people, I don't know. It's just kind of like this energy of like, I can find somebody better like that, that quickly. Or at least that's what I think it is. So that's why I decided like, all right, fine. Like I'm going to try being like a wingman. And I had fun doing it and I got good at it. That's the only reason why I got good at it is because I'm like, damn, this is like hard for me. Like sometimes it's a dry spell. Sometimes it's like, it is prosperous lands. You know, it is raining every day and you're like, oof. This is okay, good.
But real talk, have you ever wingmanned for somebody and then that person that you're wingmanning is more interested in you?
Oh.
I don't know if that happens, but I'm curious. You're like, just such a charismatic guy, so I feel like...
Maybe with like my LGBTQ plus friends, so like I guess my gay friends, possibly. I have one who's like a really good friend of mine. He's like almost best friend. And... He definitely let it be known. He was like, man, if you're gay, I'm going for it. Like, and like, I don't know, like the silver tongue or like the narcissist in me is like, thank you. I appreciate it. That I told you words of affirmation, man. Like it just gets to me. Like I'm not, but listen, I'm not insulted when like, you know, gay people are just like, I like you. Like, even if it's romantic or anything like that, I'm like, listen, you can't get anything out of me, unfortunately, but I appreciate that you had the confidence to let me know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. I like being loved. You know, that's just a fault. I guess that's because being the youngest, you want to be loved by everyone. So I'm at a fault.
Fair, fair. I guess with all that being said, do you have any kind of like closing advice or comments or things that you just want people to take away?
Time for the motivational part. Here we go.
Okay. He's like, he put the hat on backwards.
Hat's on backwards. I don't know. Let me think. I think, I guess to kind of tie it all together full circle would be like, sometimes I think it's best that we allow ourselves to get out of our own ways. Our biggest critics and our biggest challenges usually come from ourselves. But we like to think that it comes from other people. And it is true, other people do put pressure on us, but like, treat yourself right. Take care of yourself. Like, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like look out for yourself in a non-narcissistic kind of way. Like, really care for yourself, because you is all you got. And when you, I don't know, take care of yourself and really like start to appreciate who you are, and that you do matter and that you do exist, and if no one else wants to listen, at least you like enjoy the story that you're writing and that you're reading, people will naturally want to be around you. You might get lucky and you get to experience love and heartbreak too. That's it. That's all I got.
Fuck it up, dude. That's, I'm not even gonna add anything to that because that was so damn beautiful. So let's do a little virtual cheersies.
Cheers. Clink.
Clinkity clink.